Lord God, we thank you again for this time of offering. Our prayer is that what we present to you this morning would be acceptable in your sight. We pray that you would bless this offering and use it to the furtherance of thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please be seated and be prepared for the preached word.
A shelter in the time of storm. He is a shelter in the time of storm. Has anybody here ever been in a storm? In a storm, I'm talking about a real storm. Not just some light rain, but a real storm. Have you ever been driving and all of a sudden a storm appeared and you look for a port, you look for a place to shelter from the storm? I thank God that many highways have overpasses. Oh, y'all missing it. And you can drive under there and find shelter from the storm. Lord our God, we thank you that you are a shelter for us in the time of storm. We bless your name, our God, for reminding us that no matter what happens, that you are with us. Thank you for sheltering us under your wings. We bless you and we praise you. Be in the preach word. Forgive me for my sins and any shortcomings that I may have. If I've offended anyone, I pray, O God, for your forgiveness and for theirs. If anyone has offended me, I pray that they will know through the power of God that they are forgiven and no grudges held. Use me now. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people who love God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need you to help me preach this morning for about an hour. One of my deacons said, Rem, you be here by yourself. You preach 1 hour, you be here by yourself. Well, how many minutes will you give me, Jackie? 15. Help me, Lord Jesus. Even in my house, they want a sermonette. My big mama used to say, sermonette make Christian nets. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 to 14. We find these words. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do not count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, I'm committed to winning. I'm committed to winning. The Tennessee Titans on yesterday upset the National Football League by winning, by beating, Trustee Ross clapping his hand, by beating the Baltimore Ravens. Tennessee had lost 4 games in a row in the beginning of the football season. Their coach called them together and said these words to them, "Men, team, I need each one of you to be committed to winning. If you're not committed to winning, we will honor your salary, but you will not be on this team." Oh, I wish I had some help here. What if God said to each one of us, if you're not committed to winning, if you're not committed to serving me, to praising the true and living God, I have a place reserved for you, but it's not on this team. I have a place reserved for you. It's a lake of fire. Oh, help me somebody. Y'all know where I'm going? Hell is designed for those who are not committed to the ministries and to the ministry of Jesus the Christ. Paul writes this letter to the Philippians. Paul has had some dealings with them. He has found himself incarcerated in Philippi. He has preached good news to the people of the city. He has called into question a young girl who had a gift of telling the future and was used by her master to tell the future of persons. And it was a monetary transaction for the owner of this girl. And when Paul asked her to leave his presence, to leave from being among him and Silas, they brought charges against them and said that these men, in essence, were tearing up the city and drawing and taking away from the entrepreneurship of persons in that city. And guess what? They put Paul and Silas in prison and bound them. But guess what? Do you know that story that's in Acts chapter 16? How Paul and Silas did not complain. They just prayed their way out. Oh, it ought to be somebody here. You don't need to complain about what's going on in your life. Just have a little talk with Jesus. Just have a little talk with God. A little talk with God makes everything all right. Some decisions have been made that you thought the decisions were not good decisions, and you found yourself wondering and if God really heard your prayer. But can I tell you something? God is a prayer hearing God. He answers. He may not answer the way we want him to answer, but he answers and he makes everything all right. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, the God that I serve makes everything all right. The God I serve makes everything all right. Paul and Silas find themselves in jail, and as they lifted up hymns and songs to God and prayed prayer, the prayer of faith that God would have his way, guess what? God answered their prayers by sending nature to work on his behalf. I said sent nature to work on his behalf. The Bible says that there was a great shaking of the earth, and and the doors of the prison were dislodged, and Paul and Silas could have walked through as free men, but they stayed in place watching God work. And I like what happened. The Bible tells us that the guard, the jailer, thought that they were going to kill them, that he was going to kill himself, commit suicide. And the record says that when he walked in, Paul looked and saw the sword drawn and said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." He asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" A lot of things happened to the Philippian church. Paul writes and tells them, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me." Let me just wrap this up by giving you these three points, since Miss Jemison won a 15-minute sermon and I have to go home. Committed to winning, Paul says that he is forgetting those things that are behind. First, let me say, get rid of everything that might hinder you and run the race with perseverance. Get rid of everything, not just some things, but everything that may hinder you. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Paul writes to his church, to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and says, "Study to show thyself approval unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What Paul is really saying in these texts to us is, be fit to function. Be ready to function. And to be ready, you can't have things that hold you down. The Latin word for baggage is impedia. It means to stop or to hold your progress. If we're going to go forward with God and in the church and in the service of Jesus Christ, we have to get rid of everything that may hinder us. There's some things that I want to point out that may hinder us. First is hatred. A lot of us still have some hatred. We hate people of a different race. We don't know them. We just know that they're of a different race. And we hate them. We hate them. Rather than disliking their action, we react to their color. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Y'all not going to help me, so I'm going to preach anyhow. Most of us have reasons for disliking some people who have mistreated us, who have scorned and put traps in our way. As a boy, my oldest brother and youngest brother and I transferred from J.P. Starks Elementary School to H.S. Thompson Elementary School. We lived in the district of H.S. Thompson School for 4 years before we transferred. Because when we moved to the neighborhood kids did not really accept us and began to criticize and also physically assault us. It took us 4 years to get them to like us. And guess what? All of us were poor. All of us looked alike. All of us took a bath maybe 2 times a week. That was meant to be humorous. So I'm saying all of us smelled alike. But we would take the bus. Mother would buy us token cards too. They'd punch out the ride, and we would ride from South Dallas to North Dallas. But in order to save to make the card last for a month, we had to walk back to school, back home. And guess what? James and Cleveland and I had a pair of skates. Each had a pair of skates, and we would skate back home. Skating back home meant we had to go through a neighborhood. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine these three black boys on skates skating through Alamo Heights in 1955? Oh, y'all not with me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We would be skating and out from the homes, and would come these guys and they would jump on us. And do you think you can fight with skates on? And guess what? We had those skates taped on our feet so that they wouldn't come off. We learned something. Don't tape your skates on. We fought. Mothers called us one time, and I'm going to put myself in this. One time I came home with a black eye. And she said, what happened? I told her, I said, I got hit in the eye by this person. And she said, where did you hit him? I said, I didn't hit him. I ran. She said, well, when you go back, if you see him, remind him that you're not a coward, you're not afraid, that the God that you serve is with you in every fight. Y'all missed it. But you do have to stay there to fight. You can't run from the fight. Paul says, take off everything. Lay aside so that you can run the race with perseverance. And then you have a cloud of witnesses around you. And Paul says, study to show yourself approval. Be fit to function. Mary K. Austin Ash, in 1954, was working for this corporation, and someone saw her skills and her leadership ability, and they elevated her to a position of management, mid-management. And the men said that she was only elevated because she was a woman. They did not look at her cognitive skills. They did not look at her abilities and her leadership skills. They looked at the fact that she was feminine. And so they ostracized her and said that she was not worthy to be in that position. Can I ask a question? Has anybody had that to happen to you? That you're in a position of leadership? Folks say you're not worthy, or you are elevated as a senior person, and folks say you're not elevated, that you're not worthy. She worked there from 1950 in that leadership position to 1963. Retired. Started her own business, Mary Kay Cosmetics. She was tired of people hating on her, lusting. She was tired of people complaining and arguing. But she did not let other people negativity influence her. She did not hold a grudge. She started her own company with $5,000. In 2008, 2 years, she had, her budget was over $200,000. Today, her budget is over, or her wealth is over $20 million. Guess what? You don't have to fight. Just trust God. Question was asked to her, how did you make it? She said, I laid aside everything that might hinder me. And now I'm running the race with the grace of God, with perseverance. Get rid of everything. Get rid of the gossip. Get rid of the grudges. Get rid of the lust. And trust and love God. Paul says, in essence, fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus on all he did to save you. We lose sight in the church of Christ and working for Christ and doing the things that we do for Christ. Some of us work for the reputation. And Second Baptist, we do have a great reputation in this city. We have a great reputation in this nation. And wherever our children go, wherever our youth go, they take with them the learning that they have received at Second Baptist. And they do well. Wherever, whatever the challenge is, our young people do well. Why? Because they've been taught through the core readers. They've been taught through the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. They have been taught through the choirs and through the ushers to stand up for Christ and do your best wherever you are. Make folk at your church and make God proud of the fact to say to you in the last and the evil days, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Focus on all he did to save you. This morning I shared with 8 o'clock service a man who had gone to see the doctor. He felt well. He had been doing well. His health, he thought, was excellent. He goes to see the doctor, and the doctor draws some blood and runs it quickly for a blood test. And he comes back and he tells him, he said, man, if you don't get some things done, in 30 days, you'll be dead. In 30 days. And the man got in his car and he's driving. He's going home. He's going home and the tears are coming in his eyes. And he thinks about his children. He thinks about his grandchildren. He thinks about his wife and how they're going to make it without him. He's been around in their lives for a number of years. But the doctors told him he has 30 days to live. Bad blood. 30 days to live. As he's driving, pulls up behind a car. The car had a red light. He looks at the license plate of the car in front of him, and it says trust. It just says trust. He starts thinking, trust. I trust in God. Whatever may be tied. I trust in God. The song came to his mind. He began to hum the song. And he started feeling better about himself. I trust in God. Can I ask somebody here today that had a bad medical report? Can you trust in God? Will you trust in God? Will you trust God to bring you through? Will you trust God to honor your faithfulness? Will you trust God to honor your love for him? Is there anybody here that will trust God? Songwriter says, I got an evil report, a bad report from the doctor. But my wife and I decided to trust the report of God. The report of God is, I'm a healer. No matter how sick you have been, no matter how long you've been sick, I am
a healer.
38 years, 12 years, just the fever, it doesn't matter. I am a healer. What's his name? Jesus. Healer, healer, healer. What's his name? Jesus. Doctor, doctor, doctor. What's his name? Jesus. Lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. What's his name? Jesus. Have you ever got a speeding ticket? If you got a speeding ticket, slide your hand up. No, that's all right. The other day I got a speeding, not the other day, a couple of years ago I got a speeding ticket. And really I wasn't speeding. I really wasn't speeding. 75 miles an hour in a 60 mile zone. If the other folks are driving 75 miles, you got to stay in the flow of traffic. So I wasn't speeding, I was just in the flow of traffic. And I looked up and saw these funny lights flashing and going on. I drove over to the side. And the man said, "Sir, you know why I stopped you?" I said, "No, I don't know why you didn't stop that guy." He said, "Sir, you were speeding. Let me see your insurance card and your driver's license." So I was careful how I reached to the glove compartment to get that insurance card. But I got the car, insurance card, and I showed it to him. He looked at me and he laughed, and I showed him my driver's license and he saw my age. And then I showed him my military ID card. He looked at me and said, "Oh, sir, you served." I said, "Yes, sir. I served in the Air Force for 22 years, and I was in Germany, I was in Greece." And I just read the record to him. He said, "Excuse me, I'm going to the back, going back to my car." And he came back and had a little piece of paper in his hand. He said, "I'm not charging you with speeding. What I'm going to do is give you a warning." Is there anybody here that God has given you a warning? You've been in your sins and you're loving what you're doing, and then God gives you a warning. He lets us know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He asked me, he said, "What did you do in the service?" I said, "Sir, I was a chaplain. I prayed for the troops, and I buried our nation's dead. And he looked at me and he said, "I tell you what, I'm not God. But guess what? Since your eyes is on Christ, and I'm going to give you a warning, I'm going to give you another chance, just like your Savior." Y'all missed it. God always gives us another chance. Another chance to get it right. Keep your eyes focused on Christ. Paul says, "I'm laying aside everything and I'm pressing, I'm pushing toward the mark of a high calling, which is in Christ Jesus." And finally, I need to ask Second Baptist to do something if you're committed to winning, and that is abide in Jesus Christ to bear much fruit. Abide. Stay in Jesus Christ. Stay with Christ. Stay with the church. Don't leave the church. Don't leave Christ because things didn't go your way. Paul writes to the church and he says to us, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose." Abide in Jesus Christ. If you're going to bear much fruit,
You have to be connected to the vine.
Several years ago, I think maybe it wasn't here, but we took some senior citizens out to an orchard, peach, I think it was. And we saw some peaches that had fallen on the ground. They were not ripe. They had just fallen. Maybe the wind, the storm had come through and knocked them off. And I picked up a couple, looked at them. And because they were on the ground, ants were eating on them. Dirt had infiltrated them. They were no good. They were disconnected from the tree, from the source, Dr. Banks. They were disconnected. And then I looked up and I saw some real ones. They were ripe and they were ready to be plucked. John says that Jesus Christ has declared that I am the true vine. If Second Baptist is to fill these pews, if Second Baptist is to not disintegrate because of a lawsuit, we got to stay connected to the vine. We have to stay connected to each other. We can't run and say that's their fight. We have to know that Jesus Christ died for each one of us. The just died for the unjust. We have to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Not on man, not on the pastor, not on the deacons, not on the trustees, but on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ. And so I'm saying to us today, keep your eyes on him. The same way you saw him die. The same way you saw him resurrected. The same way that you saw him take the cloud and go back to God the Father. He's coming back again. And he's coming back not just for you and not just for me, but he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, for a church that knows the power of prayer, for a church that knows the power of compassion, for a church that knows the power of God's grace and of God's mercy. He's coming back. Where shall I be when the trumpets sound? When I stand before him, and when you stand before him, you want to be able to say, Lord, I didn't bring any baggage with me. No hatred, no lust, no argument, no confusion. I just brought that you'd cleaned. For I declare, cleaning me, creating me a clean heart, renewing me in the right spirit. Where shall I be? When the trumpets sound, I want to hear him, and you want to hear him. Say you were committed to winning persons for Christ. You were committed to doing the will of God. You were committed to proclaiming God's glory. You were committed to praising him. And because you were committed, I have one sentence for you. Come on in. Come on in. You've been through hard trials and tribulations, but come on in. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. What do you want to hear him say? I love my name, Robert Lee Jemison Sr. But he won't say Robert Lee Jemison Sr. He'll say servant of God. Servant of God. Servant of God. Well done. Hallelujah. 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 The door to my Father's house is standing open. I've gone past my 15 minutes. Y'all pray for me. Come on, standing. He's sweet, I know, and singing.
He's sweet, I know.
God, how thankful we are that you have called each one of us out of the world to be your people. We pray that we would leave the baggage that is in the world, and that we would focus on the work of the church. The work of the church is that of love, not hatred. That of compassion. Thank you again. Now come and go with us. As we leave this place, we leave rejoicing, knowing that our worship, our praise is not in vain. That we are staying connected to the vine, that we may produce good fruit. Bless now the people of God as we travel. We pray that no hurt, harm, or danger would befall us. We pray that as we travel, whether it's in the flow of traffic or whether we'll stop for some other means, we pray that the hand of God will be upon us and that persons may see the anointing of God in our lives. So now may grace, mercy, and truth, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with us now and forever. And all the people of God said amen. They went their way rejoicing.